There they go again. They're just like rambling. I mean, are we really trying to get at the heart and understand what the heart of that person is saying? Or is there a complaint or a concern that they're trying to express, but maybe they don't know how to do it? You know, are we really able to listen and say, okay, you know, I think this is what you're saying. You know, can we ask clarifying questions so that we really get to the heart of that person's message or really what they're trying to express to us? You know, as I was reflecting on how to be quick to listen, you know, I realized that sometimes it is hard to listen. Like, it is hard. It's really hard. But if it's hard to listen, what makes it so hard? And what are some barriers to listening well or even just plain listening? Well, you may be thinking of some barriers yourself, but maybe perhaps we're just too busy, you know, or we're just too preoccupied with our schedule, with our own stuff, with our agenda. Maybe we're rushing off somewhere. Maybe we're like rushing off to the grocery store. Maybe we're rushing off to class. Maybe we're rushing off to school, you know, to pick up our kids. You know, maybe for some of us, we already presume that we think what the other person's going to say. Maybe we've already tuned him or her out. Or perhaps maybe there's just too much noise in my life. You know, maybe there are too many other noises that when someone is trying to talk to me, I really can't listen. Perhaps we don't want to be intentional or even create the space to listen. Or maybe it's perhaps our attitude towards the other person. Maybe we don't respect him or her. Maybe we're like, oh, there she goes again. You know, she's just going to ramble on and, you know, she's just really long-winded. So I'm just going to pretend and smile and pretend to listen, but I'm really not. You know, listening actually takes practice and training. And I say this because over the past 9 months, I've had a few occasions where I've been able to volunteer at Josiah's school. So Josiah is finishing up kindergarten. And I don't know what it is, but there's something special and magical about a kindergarten teacher. You know, when Josiah's teacher says something, or even like Sunday school teachers, like when the teachers say something, he listens. But then when I say something, as a parent, he doesn't always listen to me. But yet when the teacher says something, he will listen. And so, you know, I've gone to his class, and this is a kindergarten teacher who, I must confess, is a brand new teacher. And I was like, why did my son get stuck with the brand new teacher, right? Like, I want those experienced teachers. But basically, she's good. I mean, she has him, like, controlled, right? So basically, you know, when she says something, he listens. And I've been out of kindergarten for a very long time, right? So I forget how rowdy and out of control these 25 students can potentially be. But when I walk into that room, the teacher basically has all these, like, rowdy kids attuned to her. And, you know, she has these little things that she does, whether it be like 1, 2, 3, eyes on me, or things like where she counts backwards, and then, you know, it's time to clean up, you know, counting backwards from 10. And they all just scramble and pick up their pens, pick up their toys, and they all put things away. And I'm just amazed because it's like, wow, how does she get them to listen? You know, I'm not saying that we all need to go back to kindergarten to learn how to listen and follow directions, but listening does start at a young age, and it takes practice and training. Now, I don't know, maybe some of us never really quite got it, or maybe some of us, it's still a struggle for us to listen even as an adult. But brothers and sisters, whether it be listening to God, listening to each other, or our friends, our family members, our spouse, our kids, we need to ask God to teach us how to listen. Even as James says, to be quick to listen. You know, maybe it requires, once again, that we be intentional. Maybe we've never thought about listening as being intentional or as an active thing. But maybe we need to really make it a point to start listening. Maybe we can stop multitasking and just need to stop what we're doing and pay attention and make eye contact when someone talks to us, and maybe give that person our full attention. Maybe we need to practice our listening skills on each other. So tonight at dinner, let's practice how we listen, okay? And even maybe get feedback on how we're doing. So that's the first one, being quick to listen. Let's move on to the second phrase, slow to speak. You know, what comes to mind when you think of the phrase, slow to speak? Is it that we're supposed to purposely speak very slowly? Are we to carefully enunciate our words so that everyone understands what, well, maybe not Southern, but understands what we are saying? Or maybe perhaps we need to pause and wait before responding, especially to a complaint or a concern. You know, the phrase slow to speak is really so contrary to what some of us may have been taught and are used to. You know, especially if we've grown up in a Western context or with a Western worldview, we've been taught to speak up right away and express our thoughts and opinions. You know, it's like speaking is our right. You'll remember that free speech is part of our First Amendment. You know, individualism and our own personal opinions are valued and they're encouraged. You know, the phrase, the squeaky wheel gets heard, is often sometimes overutilized and practiced. You know, in our workplaces, you know, we're really encouraged to speak up, you know, as an individual. We're really encouraged, you know, to share what we think. You know, in our schools, our teachers encourage us to express our viewpoints and to ask questions. You know, are you someone who likes to talk? I'm sure we all know someone who likes to talk, right? I'm sure you've run into folks who like to talk, whether it be yourself or maybe you might even secretly describe the person that you're sitting next to as a talker, right? You know, have you ever sat on a plane and all you want to do is maybe like read a book or like watch the movie or maybe even sleep, but then your seatmate is Miss Chatty or Mr. Chatty, and he introduces himself, and then he just keeps going. Or maybe you know someone who likes to talk, and it just seems like they're always sharing their opinion without you even asking. You know, they're always like, as if they like hearing themselves. You know, they really want to tell you what they're thinking. You know, and then, you know, believe it or not, My little girl Esther, you'll never believe this, but she sometimes can be a chatterbox. You know, she may appear very shy and very quiet, but boy, can she talk. She's got a ton of questions. She's got a lot of opinions, especially when I'm driving. And sometimes it's to the point where I'm thinking, when is this going to stop? Because I just want it to be quiet. And here she is, like, asking me all these questions. And you know, she's very inquisitive, and she wants her way. And it's like, oh, it's just too much. And perhaps for some of us, when we think of the phrase slow to speak, we'd wish that sometimes we were speaking slowly, or maybe we didn't even say that in certain situations. Like perhaps when maybe we blurted out something without really thinking about what we were saying, without having a filter. Maybe we wanted to take whatever we said back after we said it, because we said it too quickly, and now we're regretting it because we see how whatever we said hurt that individual. Maybe we're so impulsive in our response and our reaction, and maybe we've overreacted to a situation in not the most Christ-like way. You know, in verse 19, James is actually exhorting us to be slow to speak in all situations, not just the ones where we think we may regret. You know, it's actually okay to not always make our opinions known. It's okay to not speak our mind, or maybe wait until we're asked. We don't always have to be the first one to really share what we're thinking. It's totally fine not to assert our opinion or to always get our way. In fact, there's a humbleness, there's a humility if we just kind of defer. Well, what do you think? You know, like, it's not always about me. You know, we really should be slow to speak and actually wait even before responding to a friend's concern or complaint. You know, to not respond right away, because sometimes we'll get defensive and then sometimes things may get heated. Maybe we need to take a moment and wait and to say, God, how do you want me to respond? What is the biblical way that you would want me to respond? Ask God for wisdom and discernment to know how we should respond. You know, another verse that I want to share with you is found in Proverbs 10:19. If we can have that, there it is. So, you know, it says, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The prudent hold their tongues. When was the last time you held your tongue? When was the last time you spoke? Or maybe you didn't speak, but maybe you spoke fewer words than you really needed to. You know, sometimes it's better to hold our tongues so that we don't end up sinning. The third phrase, slow to become angry. Okay, this is a tough and sensitive one. Now, the reason I say that is because if we go back to James, thank you, Kevin, you'll notice that this third phrase is directly linked to verse 20. It says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, James, you'll notice, did not connect the first two phrases that deal with listening or speaking to righteousness, but he actually links being angry to righteousness. Did you ever realize that? And also, when it talks about righteousness, it says it's a righteousness that God desires. You know, God desires for you and I to be righteous. And being part of that righteousness includes not being angry. You can't be righteous and an angry person. If you want to be righteous, and that's something that God desires for us to be, so first of all, we should want to be righteous. But if we want to be righteous, we can't be angry, because there's a direct link. I mean, it's kind of like you can't be angry and righteous at the same time. Are we actually seeking to be righteous people, righteous men and women of God? And if we are, how is our anger? Is there anger in us? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. You can think about this. But how many of us would consider ourselves angry? Probably no one would consider yourself angry. But maybe how about having a hot temper sometimes? Or maybe, I don't know, getting really upset when someone cuts you off when you're driving. You probably know who you are. Or you maybe think that you occasionally get angry or upset. But what is it really that triggers anger within you? Is it someone who cuts you off on the freeway? Is it perhaps being misunderstood? Is it perhaps being wrongfully accused? Or being upset at our kids because they're not listening? Or maybe even being upset at our spouse because they're not listening? Or they're not really understanding what we're saying? You know, sometimes we really feel justified when we're angry. We're like, whoa, you know, they shouldn't have done that. You know, I was just telling them off. I was just like, you know, making sure that they know their place. You know, sometimes we actually might even enjoy being angry. Or maybe perhaps sometimes we excuse it by saying, well, you know what? That's just how I am. You know, my mother was angry. Her mother was angry. That just runs in the family. Or maybe it's like, you know, I don't know, stereotype, and I don't like stereotypes, but, you know, like, Italians have a bad temper, right? Like, oh, you know, I'm just Italian. I'm just passionate. I'm just really angry. You know, okay, obviously I'm not Italian, but I'm, so my dad's Qiu Zhou, or, you know, it's a southern area in China, Qiu Zhou. And apparently, I guess, the word on the street is people that are Qiu Zhou have a bad temper. Right? And so I'm like, I guess maybe that's why I have a bad temper, or maybe I do have a bad temper. But you know what? Do not let those labels classify you, because that's not who God intends you or I to be. God wants us to be righteous, right? And if we want to be righteous, there should be no hint of this human anger. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about righteous anger. That's a different type of anger. This is human anger, right? It talks about human anger. You know, the Bible has so much to say about anger. You know, we could probably do a series on anger, and I'm not going to do that because we're running out of time. But there have been many folks that have been mentioned in the Bible that were angry. I just want to quickly review a couple just as an example. You know, you remember that even after, shortly after creation in Genesis 4, we read about two brothers, Cain and Abel, both offered sacrifices to the Lord, but God had favor on Abel's sacrifice and not on Cain's. And in return, Cain got really angry. He got really upset, and he ended up killing his brother Abel. But as a result of that first murder, Cain bore a curse the rest of his life. And you'll remember Moses in Numbers chapter 20. He got angry because the Israelites were complaining. You know, oh, why are we, you know, in the desert? Why are we in the wilderness? You know, Egypt was so much better. He got so upset that he struck the rock twice, even though God had simply told him to speak to the rock and then water would gush forth. But because of his anger, Moses was not able to enter the promised land many years later. Proverbs 15:18, if we could have that next verse. Thank you, Kevin. A hot-tempered man stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. A hot-tempered man stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Another few verses I want to share with you is from Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. You know, it's very clear. God wants us to get rid of our anger. I mean, it's black and white. And I know sometimes it's easier said than done. But I want to ask you, how do you deal with anger? Has the Lord been speaking to you about any anger issues that you may have? You know, in Galatians 5, this is very familiar, but Paul talks about various acts of our sinful nature, which include hatred and fits of rage, and he contrasts it with living a life by the Spirit. And then in Galatians 5, 2-23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? But it says the fruit of the Spirit, there are nine of them, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Instead of anger, we need to be clothing ourselves with the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be asking for love, for self-control. You know, I briefly want to share about a little bit about myself. You probably don't know this, but I can be a very angry person. You know, I may not appear that way, but I can be pretty angry. And I remember back in my college days, I think the Lord really had to deal with my anger issues. I think there was one time that I just was very convicted by the Lord of just how angry I could get and how upset and just, you know, just a really hot temper. And I can't remember the specific situation, but I just remember that. I was like, oh, why am I so angry? You know, and I don't know if it was towards my mom or what, but, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, we used to get into all these, like, fights and arguments, and it probably was towards my mom. But the Lord really convicted me about my anger and how it wasn't right, even though I may have felt justified. And I had to really ask the Lord to forgive me. I really had to ask the Lord, okay, God, you know, if you want me to be righteous, I'm not supposed to have anything to do with this type of anger. And I really had to come before God and ask him to take away that anger and to really replace it with the fruit of the Spirit and to really break my pride, break my anger, just the whole thing of me being right. You know, a lot of times we want to just be right. You know, and that leads to like, well, you know, I'm the one in the right. You know, that's why I'm so upset, because they won't admit that they're wrong. You know, but my brothers and sisters, how do you deal with anger? Are you slow to become angry? Or are you quick to be angry? And as we close, I just want to read those verses again. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You know, as we reflect on these two short verses, I don't know where you are today with those three phrases. I don't know if you're quick to listen, slow to speak, or slow to become angry, as James writes about. Or maybe you're the complete opposite. But I really want to encourage you, even as we close, I want to actually invite all of us to stand and really spend some time asking the Lord, you know, God, where am I when it comes to listening? Am I, God, quick to listen? Am I an active listener? When people talk to me, do I really make it a point to listen? What about speaking? Am I slow to speak? Or am I the first one to offer my advice or my opinion? Maybe it's okay to wait and to not speak. Maybe if God doesn't want you to speak, you should just be quiet. What about anger? How do you deal with anger? Am I an angry person? Maybe we need to take this time to ask God to reveal to us trigger points or areas in my life where I tend to be angry. And maybe now's the time to confess that before Him and to really ask God to take away that anger, that bad attitude, that pride, and to replace it with the fruit of the Spirit, to replace it with God's love, to replace it with that self-control so that we don't get angry. Spend a few minutes, just you and God. God, I want to thank you for the two verses from James. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. God, we come before you, Lord, and we bring our lives before you, Lord. We just ask for your Holy Spirit to examine us in each of these three areas, Lord. Individually, and even as a corporate body of yours, as a church. God, help me, help us, Lord, to learn how to listen, to be quick to listen. Help me, Lord, to be slow to speak, to be humble and to really not let our tongue just rattle on. Father, help us to know, Lord, when we need to be quiet. Help us to know, Lord, when we need to really wait upon you for words to say. Lord, even as we come before you, Lord, we want to ask, Lord, that you would reveal to us, Lord, if we've been angry, Lord, and what some of those trigger points might be. And Lord, show us how you want us to deal with that anger. Show us, Lord, how you desire for us to get rid of that anger. God, would you forgive us, Lord, for being angry? Would you forgive us, Lord, for our bad attitudes? Would you forgive us, God, for just the spirit of self being self-righteous? Lord, we ask that you would cleanse us, that you would clothe us with your fruit of the Spirit, that you would clothe us with your love, that you would help us, Lord, that instead of being angry, we would have self-control. God, that we would have your Spirit, Lord. Father, we ask that you would help us, God, to make these two verses practical in our lives, Lord. Even today, even this week, Lord, as we go from here, God, that we would be quick, slow, slow, Lord. Would you give us that desire, Lord, to be righteous people, to be righteous men and women of God, because, Lord, you desire it. Lord, help us to be righteous. Help us, Lord, to get rid of that anger. Lord, we know that we cannot do it on our own. We need to just release the anger to you and to let go. So, Lord, would you come? Would you do your work in our hearts? Show us, Lord, how to be righteous. Show us, Lord, what we need to let go of. Clothe us, Lord, with yourself, with your righteousness. God, we thank you for our time together today. Lord, we ask that even as we go from here, that God, you would give us your joy. You would give us your peace. Lord, you go before us, Lord. Lord, whatever challenges we may be facing this week, Lord, we want to submit those to you. Whatever opportunities we have this week, would you, Lord, continue to speak to us. Help us, Lord, to walk out in faith, Lord, knowing, God, that you go before us. So, God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, God, for just this family that we can be together. So, God, we thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to maybe challenge you, maybe tonight during dinner, if you're willing to share, maybe you can say, I don't know, are you quick, slow, slow? Or are you slow, quick, quick, or any of the combinations? Maybe you can reflect a little about that if you feel comfortable in sharing. So God bless you. Please join us upstairs for another meal. And if you want to come up for prayer, some of us will be here to pray with you. But we will see you upstairs. Thank you.